Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Howard, and after a cracking 4 days at York, we are here to review the action that took place on the Knavesmire. Never am I alone, though, on the postcast. I have two guests, one of which I've been trying to get on this postcast for quite a while. It's Tom Park and Rosie Margs. And Tom, you're finally on. How was the week for you?
Oh, York is so special. I was meant to be going on Wednesday, and unfortunately had to pull out very late. But honestly, if anyone has never been to York, I mean, the ITV cameras did it. It showed it in its glory last year. It really is the best race course in the world, in my opinion. And they put on a hell of a show, and they had a bit of bad luck with the train strikes, but they were the quality of racing more than made up for it. I mean, Faid was just electric, wasn't he? So it was just an incredible week. Really good feel good factor for the season. I think most people will agree that it was just so enjoyable, and it sets up the end of the season really well, isn't it? Now, I mean, there's going to be a lot of talking points, particularly around Baid and where he's going to go next. But yeah, just a phenomenal week. And yeah, credit to the race course.
And we'll get into the world's greatest horse in just a moment. And yeah, York is a race course that I've never been to, but I certainly need to get myself there. Rosie, some amazing performances, one of which obviously headlined the lot that Tom's mentioned. But how was the week for yourself?
Thoroughly enjoyed it. One of my favourite races is the Lauda, purely because we've won it. And Dad always brings up that we won it with a horse that had a penalty and no one's done it since. So he's always quite smug for the whole day while that's going on. But York's just such an incredible place. It's just, I don't know why, it feels very cosy there. It feels kind of, you know, a lot more relaxed, and it's just a good fun course. And I think they've got a really good setup for the horses too. It's just a cracking place. I didn't get up there this week. I was meant to on the Thursday, but everything went wrong, so it wasn't to be. But next year, it's on my list.
Yeah, train strikes scuppered quite a few people's plans the last week, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, York next year, definitely in the diary already. So the first part of the postcast, we'll look back at days one and two. The second part will be looking at days three and four. And then in the final part, we'll be getting some beaten horses to follow, as well as our guest nap for the week ahead. So let's start off with Wednesday's racing. And the first group race we look at is the Group 3 Tattersall's Acomb Stakes. This was won by Chaldean, a son of Frankel, Rosie. Definitely going places, this one.
Oh, for sure. There's plenty more left in the tank, isn't there? Won that very nicely. but the Frankels are just smashing through all of the barriers. I think that was his 71st individual group runner, winner, sorry, I believe. I may have got that wrong, but hopefully I haven't. but I mean, it's great to see for Jobmont, and in fact, it's their own, you know. But it was nice to see also Whitsbury Manor bred it. So it was a good feel factor, that one. I quite enjoyed that winner.
Yeah, and Tom, this horse, I mean, was very impressive actually at Newbury prior to coming to York, and beat some well-regarded horses at Newbury. You'd like to think he's on a massive upwards curve.
Yeah, he was given an absolute masterclass of a ride from Ryan Moore. He's definitely a horse who's going to be better over a trip. I think he's a half-brother to, I mean, Rosie will be able to correct me on this, he's a half-brother to Alchemate, who won the Millreath couple of years ago, I think he was rated 111. Hopefully he'll go on to be as good as, if not better than him. I thought it was a really likeable performance. He's definitely got the potential to kind of stay further as well. So
yeah, agreed.
I think he's definitely going to keep on side.
Yeah, this horse is definitely going to be better when, yeah, stepping up in trip for sure. I'm quite excited by Chaldean and looking forward to seeing where he goes next. Next, we look back at the Great Voltage Stakes, a race that has in the past thrown up plenty of ledger contenders. This was won by Deauville Legend, who stays for days for James Ferguson. Obviously, Tom, the winner has been gelded, so can't run in the ledger. But my word, if he hadn't been gelded, he'd have a right chance in it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This was a really, really good performance, and he's kind of been improving with each run. It is a shame he's gelded, because we obviously won't see him in the ledger, but there's definitely some big prizes in for him. I don't know whether they'll maybe look like they have done with the stablemate, who I always forget the name, who finished third in this. But he they might take the route to France. There'll be some big prizes over him later in the year, particularly on ARC weekend. I thought what was interesting is, and I kind of made a bit of a mistake because Baid won an hour later, but I'm very, very keen on New London for the ARC, who beat Dover legend with a bit in hand at Goodwood. I just think New London's the best three-row colt we've seen in Britain, certainly over middle distances. Okay. I mean, he's 25-1 for the ARC, which, and I kind of went in, I wrote a column in the Weekender a couple of weeks ago saying how I thought he was a massive bet. I think he should be single figures. Obviously, Baid won. I went in again, and then 20 minutes later, Baid won. And I mean, if he goes to the ARC, he's probably not a prayer against him. But yeah, still 25-1. I don't understand why. The form is all stacking up. And yeah, Dover Legend ran a perfectly good race at Goodwood behind him. New London, definitely. I don't know. I feel like I must be missing something. I very nearly tweeted saying New London's 25-1 for the ARC, 25-1. I'm kind of glad I didn't because Baid, he probably is a 25-1 shot if Baid turns up. But yeah, with doubts over whether Baid's going to go, I personally think he will. But yeah, I wouldn't put anyone off having an each-way bet on him. I think he's the wrong price. I'd have him as single figures, even with Baid even with the doubts over Baid in the race, I suppose. Okay. So yeah, take a chance, I think.
There we go. A big praise for Dover Legend, but a big mention there for a horse that didn't even run at York, but New London, 25-1 for the ARC. Tom's given a massive mention. Currently best price 6-4 for the St. Ledger New London. Rosie, it's a horse that's definitely helped put James Ferguson right on the map, and he's a young trainer going many places.
He is, for sure. It's nice to see him do well on the big stage. He deserves it. He works very hard. But I mean, I see what I'd want to be earning right now is the mare, because this Dover Legend is a full brother to Cela Rosa, who won a Group 2 this weekend in Deauville. Yeah. So if they've got one going to the sales, they're going to be very happy people right now, because that is some lovely form to be putting into your books ahead of sort of October sales time. That will be very nice. But again, and Dover Legend did it well, and it was just, I thought it was a nice performance. It's a shame he is gelded, like you say, but equally, I'd imagine we wouldn't be seeing this side of Dover Legend had he have not been gelded, because James was saying he was quite the animal before he lost his friends.
He's classy, isn't he? He's a classy horse who stays well. I just think that, he's underestimated, perhaps, because his trainer's not as well known as some of the big ones out there. But yeah. It looked like he was very much going to get the 1-2 for a long way in this race. Yeah. And your Secret State just stayed on well. I wouldn't give up on Secret State. I mean, he was given a good hiding there, but he'll definitely improve. I don't know if the ledger's still on the cards for him, but he'll definitely improve for that extra 2 furlongs. And yeah, I mean, he has been on the run for quite a while this season. So whether they can get him to peak at the ledger, I wouldn't be so sure. But I wouldn't give up on him. And yeah, I'm still getting rather excited about New London. I mean, if they run him in the ledger, that probably doesn't give his ARC chances much good, but they might just scrap the ARC on the head. I mean, that's the danger if Baid was to run. But they obviously went the ledger and the ARC with Hurricane Lane last year. Yeah. He's had a bit of time off in the middle of the season with a slight niggle. So he's fresher than most of the three-year-olds. I'm rather excited about that. I really want Baid to run in the ARC for the he can potentially create for himself. But yeah, I kind of hope he doesn't, because I think New England will have a right chance if he turns up without Baid in the race.
As you can tell, Tom is a massive fan of New London on this postcard. See how many more mentions we can get of New London throughout the show, Tom. Blimey, yeah. No, look, James Ferguson, you mentioned his other runner, El Bodegon. I thought El Bodegon ran a massive race, considering I thought the horse would want softer ground. I think that horse will be winning races when the ground gets a little bit softer. I thought Holly Doyle gave that horse a masterful ride. But Yeah, a good winner for James Ferguson in the Great Vulture with Deauville Legend. Hopefully that horse can go on to win plenty more big prizes throughout the season. Now on to the highlight on day one, which was the Jubman International, won by the brilliant Baid. Would he be better over this 10 furlong trip was the question asked before the race, and there's no doubt after that he certainly was. He won this by 6.5 lengths, beating last year's 6-length winner, Mishriff. Honestly, this was magical to watch, and now the end of season plans are up in the air. Does this horse go to the Irish Champion Stakes, the British Champion Stakes, or the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe? Tom, first of all, how good was this? And then where do you want to see him next? And where do you think we'll see him next?
Oh, this was a properly amazing performance. I have to say, hands up, I've been a little bit sceptical about how good he actually was. I mean, mention him in the same breath of Frankel and See the Stars. He kind of had to do what he did on Wednesday, but by God, it was good. It was just so, so good to see. Racing's needed this superstar, this proper superstar where... I think they'll go... They will go for the arc, won't they?
Will they?
They backtracked. If they weren't going to... If they seriously weren't thinking of the arc, they wouldn't have come out a day later and said, oh, well, we might actually think about the arc. I just think they'd have said, look, we're sticking to our guns. The fact that they've kind of thought, you know what, I think everyone knows he'll just win the arc. I mean, is there any doubts that he'll stay? And if he didn't, he's not tarnished his legacy. He just didn't get a mile and a half, which, I mean, Rosie will probably shed a bit more light on this. Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing if he doesn't stay a mile and a half for his breeding objectives. They've got nothing to lose. And if he was to win, he's an arc winner who's been doing the majority of his winning over a mile. I mean, he's like a potential... I mean, he is a superstar. It doesn't matter where he goes next. He's already a superstar. That form's rock solid. Mishriff has been known to kind of fluff his lines a couple of times, but he definitely ran his race. And he's got mid to high 120s. He's probably run to that, and Baid's just left him for dust. I mean, he's just all class. What a horse! I mean, it's so exciting when you see a horse who it switches off in his races, and just that explosive turn of foot over trips like this. There's just nothing better than seeing it. And we've kind of missed a one like this for some time, really. He really does get your hair sticking up on the back of your neck.
Okay, well, currently there are some bookmakers offering 13-2 about Baid. Now that's without non-runner no back. If you want non-runner money back, currently 4-5. Would you say that's a fair price? Do you think he'll be 4-5 if actually turning up in the race?
I think he'd be shorter probably. It is the arc, and yeah, it is the arc. I think he'll scare a few off. I mean, we're talking about my new London bet, particularly if they ran in the ledger. I mean, they're probably not going to be up for taking on Baid. So, I think that will apply to some others. But this is not a very... If you look at the arc, the reason why I was so keen on New London was because it's take Baid out of it. This is a really winnable race. I mean, you've got the German horse, Decatur Tassel, last year's winner. I mean, it would be a bit of a travesty if he was to win back-to-back arcs. No offence to Horse of Connections, but, I mean, he's not in the same league as some of the arc winners we've had. You've got, I think, Pile Driver's in there, again, really likeable horse, but is he an arc winner? You would kind of hope not for the sake of horse racing. I just think that if they turned up, scared a few of the big ones off. I mean, Verdini, for example, if Baid's in the race, he ain't going to go up to a mile and a half because they're already talking about the Champion Stakes for him. They'll just avoid Baid. So, and you'll get others like that. So 4-5. I mean, I don't normally like to back it such short odds, but there's nothing really to beat him. Like New London, I love him, but he's not going to beat Baid. It is the arc, though. and anything can happen in the eye. It's a bit like bumper cars, so anything. It is the one race out of all of them that Baid's running where you would think, right, well, if there are problems here, I mean, See the Stars looked at one point like he was struggling. But, you know, class horses found a way, and he is a class horse, and I just think he'll win whatever.
Okay, strong opinions. That's what I want on the postcard, some strong opinions. And another big mention, once again, for New London for the Arc from Tom. Rosie, are you in agreement with Tom here?
To a degree. I think saying he has nothing to lose is quite a big... He does have a lot to lose. If he loses, it's a lot. I know it's not like, in terms of, yeah, his form's solid, but an unbeaten champion at stud just brings something better. And it sticks in your head so much more to, you know, so Frankel, for example, you know, look at what he's achieved and what he's done because he's unbeaten. It's just such a massive thing to be able to put on any form of advertising. You say a horse is unbeaten, it's phenomenal, you know, and especially the, you know, 10 times, 11 times, 12 times, you know, Frankel 14, you know, that's what you have to look at. And if he does get beaten in the Arc, it's going to be brutal. Okay, it's one race. And it was one day, and it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But if they lose it then, I think they'd all just kick themselves silly.
Would, yeah, for example, I mean, I don't really understand the industry like Rosie. I'm just interested. For example, See the Stars was beaten early on his career. Do you think that Connections was so bold with their campaigning on his three-year-old season on the basis that they didn't have that unbeaten record to protect?
Probably. Yeah, once you've been beaten, you know, you don't have to worry about it really, because it's just part of it. But when you are unbeaten from 10 starts, it's a lot of pressure. Haggis, when I saw him at Goodwood, he looked exhausted. I can't imagine how hard this must be for him, actually. Like, on the one hand, it must be amazing to have a horse like this, but it's also so knackering. Because, you know, it can all just come flying down within a couple of seconds. You know, if Mishriff had beat him, that would have just been brutal, you know. But luckily, the horse is incredible. And so far, nothing's even got close. But you just don't know, do you? You don't know what horse is going to turn up from the world. After what happened in Saudi Arabia with, you know, you thought Mishriff was going to hack up in the cup and all that, and he didn't. And the Japanese that turned up and absolutely ruined them. It could happen in France.
Yeah. I looked at Racing Post Live, Rosie, from the Queen Anne day, and Dave Orton said to you, will this horse go to the Arc? And your words were, it would be tempting. It's got to be more than tempting now. It really has. Go on,
it's
sorry.
It's got to be tempting, but you've got to weigh it up, haven't you?
Yeah, you have. And that's the whole thing. It's just seeing it. And Haggis is... I think he's been a bit tired at the moment of what people are saying. He came out on ITV, I think it was on Ebor Day, and said to Matt Chapman that I think we're going to send the horse to the Triumph Hurdle in a joke, because there's been so much discussion with regards to this. But go on, I'll come to you both with one quick answer. Tom, where's this horse going to end his career?
I think he'll end in the Arc, and okay. New London will be a frustrating second.
No, right, let's enough of this. Right, Rosie, where are we going to see this horse next?
Champions Day at Ascot.
Okay, that's it. That's probably the sensible thing. I think everyone wants to see the horse in the Arc, but I've got to feed the Champion Stakes as well. Now, let's move on then to day two, which we'll start off by looking at the Group 2 Lowther Stakes for the two-year-old fillies, where a lot of people's banker of the meeting, Dramatised, got beat. Carl Burke, though, wasn't disappointed, was he, as he had the 25-1 winner swing along. Rosie, what did we make of Dramatised performance in the race?
Perfectly good.
do you think that the horse performed to expectation, or do you think that the form from Royal Ascot, we got a bit too excited?
It's difficult, isn't it? It's such a different platform. It's hard though when they're, I don't know, I'm not sure, because everyone has their day and everyone doesn't have their day, kind of thing. And obviously that day wasn't his day.
Tom, the race in general, it was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, I didn't think there would be any, just from watching Dramatise before this, I didn't think she'd have any issues stepping up in trip. She was very good at Ascot. The race didn't work out, hasn't worked out very well at all. I don't know. She didn't look like she stayed. But she also didn't show that kind of, say, she showed a lot of speed out in front, but she didn't put that kind of 2-3 lengths apart from the field before she didn't stay, which you kind of, if it was just down to stamina, you would, that's how I'd kind of want to see her run, if she is that good. I kind of put myself away a bit because I only have 5 horses in my horse tracker and Swing Along is one of them. And I didn't have a bet on the basis that Carl Burke absolutely loves Dramatized, the best filly that they've trained, he said after Ascot. And I just thought, well, if she's not got a prayer, if they think this thing's so good, which, so I'm kicking myself. I'm not trying to laugh at the time at all because I didn't back it. But yeah, like Dramatized, I don't know. You're going to have to see on her next start, I think. She's had quite a long time between the two runs. So whether they're protecting her for next season, I don't know. I kind of, will they be regretting not getting all that weight in the Nunthorpe now? Perhaps. There is also that she might just not be as good as we kind of thought she was. Maybe we got a little bit carried away with the fact that Carl Burke came after the race at Ascot and said, oh, look, she's the best we've ever had, best 2-year-old we've ever had. I don't know, the form wasn't there, was it? I mean, it was, no. If you look back at the race at Ascot, it wasn't quite there. So there is half a chance she's just not as good. She definitely didn't stay, so they will be going back to 5 furlongs, I would think. But I don't know. Unfortunately, there's question marks about her now. So her next run's probably going to tell us. I just wonder whether you take a chance on running something like the Abbey. Again, getting all that weight. If they do think she's top class, she's a sprinter, like that would be potentially something I'll be thinking about. I have no idea where they're going to go over next, but she's had a likely enough campaign for a 2-year-old. I mean, something like the Abbey, I don't think it would be out of her reach.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Potentially, yeah, that drop back and going into a race like that, getting that weight could be the way forward. Just a quick word on the winner, though, Tom.
Yeah, I think Swing Along definitely going forward. As I said, she's in my tracker from earlier on in the season. She won very well at Ripon, was it, last time? Yeah, as I said, I cleared out my horse tracker about 3-4 months ago, and there's only 5 horses left in it. The other one was Cold Case of Carl Burke's, which actually ran really well at the Gimcrack. So, but yeah, I think she's a very good filly. She's made a big leap forward there. I'll keep her at 6 furlongs, I think. But she's probably going to get further over time as well. So, yeah, we'll see. I think she's quite an exciting filly. I don't let the price put her off. She was the wrong price. I mean, like, yeah. I was just stupid enough not to back her. But she was a stupid price. But that's more about me, really. I mean, even Carl Burke had said that they thought she was massively over the price after the race, which obviously doesn't really help anyone. They obviously think a lot of her. They were probably a little bit shocked that Dramatized got beat. But you know, Danny Tunnell had said all along that he didn't think that he thought she was a 5 furlong horse. So. Maybe listen to the jockeys a little bit more as the way to go forward with these things. They know best.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, drop back to 5 furlongs potentially for Dramatized, but Swing Along, a nice winner at 25-1 for Carl Burke in the Lowther Stakes. And let's move on to the highlight of day 2, which was the Group 1 Darley Yorkshire Oaks, won by Alpinista. Now, 5 Group 1s on the bounce for this horse. Some question if she could do it in the UK, but again, she certainly could, and Longchamp is calling for this wonderful mare. One of our Racing Post tipsters, Mr. Robbie Wilders, has put this horse up at 50-1 for the Ark, and he said again this week that the 8-1 available is still very generous. Tom, I think he could be right if Bailey doesn't turn up, but we all know who you'll be backing.
Well, yeah, I just don't understand how he's three, four times the price of her. But look, I really like this mare. Can definitely see her running a big race in the Arc. If Baye doesn't turn up, she's definitely one of the ones to beat. She's all class, goes on any surface. I think she's better on a quicker surface, but you know, you sometimes get that at at Longchamp these days. And yeah, I'm a little bit, I wouldn't give up on Tuesday just yet. I thought that was a big run. It was a much better run than the run in the Irish Derby, where she was perhaps a little bit over the top. But what struck me is she was built like a bull. And she looked tiny before that. What you got to remember is she wasn't foaled until June. So she's only just turned three. Like if you take Snowfall, for example, last year, she was foaled in February. So she's got four months on the likes of Snowfall, and then some of these foals that have, the majority of them are foaled, I think, in February, March time. So like she's got a good bit of improvement still in her. This was a big run, I thought. If we think that Alpinista's one of the ones to beat in the Arc, Tuesday's really not that far behind. And I could definitely see her improving for this. There was quite a bit of money for her before the race. Like, the O'Brien camp clearly think that they're getting the tune out of her. I was just struck by how well she looked in the paddock. I'm by no means a paddock judge at all, but... yeah, when I saw her, I was thinking, that can't be Tuesday. She's like this little skinny filly that we saw lining up in the guineas. But, yeah, she's definitely done some growing. And, yeah, I wouldn't quite give up on her just yet. Whether she's up to overturning that form of Alpinista, I'm not too sure. But I certainly think she'll improve over the next couple of starts if they keep going with her.
Agreed. I've got it in my notes here. I've got Alpinista, this horse will win this year's Arc. And I've got Tuesday, I've just got next to it. We haven't quite got to the bottom of this horse yet. I think there's plenty more to come. And Rosie, with regards to Alpinista, we've got to remember that this horse comfortably beat last year's Arc winner in Germany prior to Takata Tasso going to win the Arc. And wouldn't it be great to see Mark Prescott land the prize in Paris?
I would love Sir Mark to win it and Kirsten Rousing. It's just such a lovely story so far. You know, six generations of the family Sir Mark's trained. And they're not easy horses. Well, no horse is easy. I think she's quite laid back. She's quite a nice, happy little horse. But she just seems to just take it all in her stride. She's not bothered at all by much, is she? Which is lovely. But I'd love to see her win the Arc. It would just make me really happy. I don't know whether she could. I mean, there's so many different options in it. And like you say, Tuesday seems to be blooming. I agree with you there. She does look like she's grown and she's really coming to herself. And with Aidan O'Brien's, you just never know what they're going to come out with next. They're such hardy animals. But equally, Alpinista has been travelling all over Europe for her last few wins. So it obviously doesn't bother her, all the travel. So you just... I don't know. I'd love to see her win it for the story and it would just be delightful. But we'll see, won't we? But probably your pick will win it because we're all taking the mick at the moment. But can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, we'll be coming back to this podcast in a couple of months' time saying that Tom was right with New London. But with regards to Alpinista, Kirsten Rousing, a great piece. Do check out on our Racing Post YouTube page. Maddie Meets went to meet Kirsten. A really fantastic interview. Do check that out. And that's it for part one, where we've discussed, well, two Arc contenders, potentially three. But join us back in just a moment where we'll be looking back at the final 2 days where speed and stamina were certainly on show. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Rosie Markson and Tom Park. In today three now, where we start off with the Longsdale Cup. This was won by Quickthorn, who landed the race with a masterful front-running ride from Tom Markand. Obviously, Stradivarius and Trucian didn't run in the race, but take nothing away from the winner. Just didn't stop in the front end, Rosie.
No, it was quite stunning, actually. Yeah. It was for a minute you watched Tom and you thought, have we gone a bit, are we in complete control here? And then he just kept going, and yeah, certainly wasn't stopping anytime soon, was it? It was enjoyable to watch, wasn't it?
It really was. And Tom, do we think those tactics, if Stradivarius and Trushan did turn up and that race was run like that again with quick form going off like the clappers, do we think that this horse could have caught those two out?
Not sure. I thought it was a funny race. Like, why? Look, I think the best horse won. I don't think if the jockeys behind got anywhere near it at the start, I still think quick form would have won. I think Coltrane looked like he's perhaps over the top this season. He's been out for a long time and he was running Chester Cup and stuff early in the season. But I'm not slamming performance at all. But why give a horse who's made a kind of name for himself for getting cheap leads and from being good from the front in small fields, why give him 10 lengths in the first two furlongs, which is what he got? I've never sat on a horse in my life, so it's a very... I'm a bit of an armchair punter here. But I just don't get... They had no chance. They had no chance from the first after the first furlong of catching him.
Because it's so sectionals, hard to judge.
Sectionals were saying he wasn't going that quick. I mean, he did go... he slowed it down. He did everything. I mean, I turned to my wife and said, well, there's no point watching this race now. Like, you've won. Like, I think Jason Weaver or someone on ITV said they just weren't able to go with him at that pace. And if that's true, then he would have had a good chance of beating Stradivarius and Trushan because the logic just doesn't really sit right with me. Because if that was true, then Quick Fawn's not getting beat by anything, is he? I don't... He stays well and he can run fast. I mean, I don't really understand... But how would you beat him then? Or is it just a case of in these small fields, in that particular race where you've got them particular horses, there was just no one physically able to go with him? I don't know. But to me, someone's got to try and go with him because he was always going to do that because he wasn't having to go that fast. I think if Trushan and Stradivarius were in the race, I think Trushan is good enough to just sit. It would have been a nice lead into the race, I think, for him, because he can go from the front quite hard. It would have played to Trushan's strengths. Whether it would have played to Stradivarius, we just don't know. I mean, it's an interesting angle because Quickthorn is not really... He's not. I don't think he's run in the... He didn't run in the Ascot Gold Cup or the Goodwood Cup. Off the top of my head, I don't think he did. So it is a completely different form line. So in theory... Stradivarius is getting on now. Maybe that these performances that we kind of think Stradivarius is back, maybe he's just not running against the level of horses that he has. But then it's hard to argue that because Trushan won the Northumberland Plate off a massive weight. So I don't know. It was a really funny old race. I don't like slamming the jockeys, but someone's got to try and go with it, surely, to at least force it to go a little bit quick. I don't know. But yeah, it's an interesting angle for sure next time. I mean, maybe we'll see them all line up at Ascot or in the Cadran or something and we'll find out. But I kind of think I don't buy into he's too fast for them. I think you kind of have to go with him. And then if he outstays him at the end, fair enough. I think he probably would have because, as I said, Coltrane's not really run to form. I know he was second, but he kind of had to really fight that out. And you would think he was a good bit ahead of the rest of them. It wouldn't have made no difference to the result, I wouldn't have thought. But just at least give it a chance. Give the punters a run for the money at least.
Rosie, do you think with regards to that ride, do you think a lot of the jockeys in behind would have learnt the lesson there with regards to Quick Fawn and Champions Day, if that's where we may most likely see Quick Fawn again? A lot will try and go a lot closer to him.
Yes and no, because it's very difficult. Because when you first looked at Tom, the first furlong or so, I did think he wasn't in control of the pace. And I think Quickthorn was very much made the decision he was making that run. And I think Tom had to settle with that. I don't think it was necessarily, I don't know, I haven't seen a post interview. Maybe Tom said he did plan to. But you don't necessarily want to race a horse alone because most of the time, 9 times out of 10, they fall in a hole. And you get caught and it's absolute carnage. But equally, the people behind him, the difficulty is if you use up that bit of speed in that early in the race to catch him then, you've got nothing left at the end. Because a lot of these horses, they're going a long distance. that little turn of foot they've got is it. So if they were to use it early doors, they then might not have it for the end. So they might have caught him at the beginning and then had nothing left to give. It's very difficult to judge, especially in the race. And you don't know, of course, the horse, everybody knows Quicklon's a good horse, but equally, they probably weren't anticipating he was quite going to hack up in that manner. I think he was obviously having a very good day. I think he's quite a difficult horse based on the fact that Huey said that the week before he galloped like nothing. And he wasn't even sure he was going to run him. So I'd suggest he's quite quirky. And obviously picked up and decided to have the best day of his entire life and hacked up at York. But he might be having the worst day of his life next time he runs. You just don't really know. I think it was a bit of a... I think it was a bit rogue. And if he does it again, then yeah, the jockeys need to up their game. But I'm not sure he will.
Interested to see what happens in the staying races towards the back end of the season. Right, we must move on. Let's move on to another two-year-old race now, and it's the Jim Crack, which was won by Noble Style, who a few had their doubts about after the horse had a setback earlier in the season. This was a very strong field. I thought Marshman was the one to beat. He ran a clear second, and Richmond Stakes winner Royal Scotsman was well behind. Tom, I'd say this was one of the hotter two-year-old races we've had all seasons. Have we potentially seen a future New London in here?
I think you've seen the Guineas winner here. Very taken by this. This was a mighty performance, wasn't it? I mean, he looked like he came from miles back. This form will stack up, I'm telling you. This was a really, really hot race. This horse has been off for a long time. Question marks about him. As I said, that the horse, he was third, I think, Cold Case. Good horse. Royal Scotsman. We've got an interview with Jim Crowley in the Weekender week. I should have mentioned that with the Baida thing. A nice little plug there. But we asked him for his, like, the most exciting two-year-old for the next season, and he said not to give up on Royal Scotsman. I don't think Royal Scotsman's got a cat in hell's chance of overturning the form of Noble Style. So this race will hold up. I think there'll be plenty of winners to come from it. He's my idea of the Guineas winner, I think. Not sure what price he is for the Guineas. I've not actually looked at the betting, but there's been some really good two-year-olds this year. Little Big Bear probably being top of the list. Whether he'll stay, not quite sure. I think there's scope for this horse staying a little bit further, and I think they'll probably go for the Dewhurst next time. And I think he'll probably win that. And then it's whether... It reminds me a little bit of Native Trail. But he did this with a lot of class. Maybe even a little bit more class than how Native Trail was winning last year, which is perhaps a little bit surprising. But I think he'll be better on his next start as well. He's going to come on for that. And yeah, as you said, second ran a stormer. He might be suited to sprinting trips.
I thought the middle park's on.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm contemplating a kind of Dewhurst middle park double on them both, because I think this was a really strong race. I'd like to know what O'Brien's planning to do with Little Big Bear. That looked a freak last time. And he might be tough to beat. Give Noble Style a chance though, if they were to line up with each other in the Dewhurst. I think the O'Brien horse looks probably better suited to sprinting. Noble Style, I think he'll get a little bit further. Whether he'll quite get the mile, we probably won't know till next season, but I certainly think 7 furlongs will be very much under his radar. Good race, really good race this.
I echo all of Tom's thoughts there. I think you're completely right. Although Charlie Appy did say that there are some other nice horses still to be seen again. And rumour has it that he has one horse called Highbank, who a lot of people are saying is the horse that they've got their eyes on, who won a maiden on the 23rd of July at Newmarket. That horse won by 3¾ lengths. So Highbank might be one to keep an eye on wherever we see that horse next. Rosie, Charlie Appleby has some ammunition, though. He could have double-figure Guineas contenders by the end of the season. He's some trainer, isn't he?
He is, and it's kind of frightening. The bigger trainers continue to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. it's so tough. And that top level is incredibly hard to sort of get in on. And Charlie seems to just, every time you sort of think you've seen them all, he just appears with another one that's unbeaten and absolutely hacks up and is an astronomical creature. Like, and it's, you know, Godolphin, you know, what they buy and what they breed is incredible. They brought this horse from Chase Moore Farm, who are obviously over the moon with him, you know, and they hope he remains unbeaten and he's a superstar because it's great for them. They've got the mare. But, you know, it's just, it's incredible really what they're achieving from the top. You know, they are, it's quite stunning what he's done this year, you know, and he had the three Guineas winners, didn't he? And yeah, there's no competing with Charlie Appleby at the minute.
There really isn't, I think, yeah. And I think he's got plenty of good horses still to come, like I say, and I think he's going to be dominating the Guineas market once again next season. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. But Noble Star, a nice winner of the Gimcrack. And the highlight on Friday was the Coolmore Woodson Bassett Nunthorpe Stakes. This was won by Highfield Princess, who, like a fine wine, is getting better with age. She won this comfortably, beating the two-year-old, the Platinum Queen, who ran an absolute corker, I thought. Breeders' Cup on the agenda now, Rosie, from what I've heard. She looked very straightforward on Friday.
She did, yeah. She's just such a nice... It's such a nice story, though, isn't it, this whole situation? She's just come from the bottom to the top, and it was a stunning performance too. She didn't just win. She made it look sort of easy in my mind. That was very nice, very impressive.
I was very, very pleased with the way the two-year-old was the one that I thought was ran an absolute corker, Tom. I mean, that horse there was, you know, a lot of people thought this could be the first two-year-old to win the race in 15 years, and you wouldn't be disappointed if you were Richard Fye.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, to lead a field of that quality, as far as she did into the race, on just after just a few starts, was a brilliant performance, yeah. She's getting a lot of weight, so it's quite hard to peg horses like that back when they're getting that much weight, because she's clearly talented. Probably helped Highfield Princess, strong pace to run at. We obviously know that she stays quite a good bit further. But look, she was the class in the field. I'm kicking myself. And this is a lesson to all punters, because the class in the field, classy horses will win over most trips. And Rosie will probably tell you, if you've got a classy horse in your yard, then they're going to beat horses who are not as classy. Like, Royal Acclaim had won a listed race in a slow time. She looked good. But she's stepping up to Group 1. I mean, Highfield Princess had won a Group 1 earlier, a week earlier, was it? Or 2 weeks earlier than Maurice de Guise?
Yeah.
I was kicking myself after, because I looked at Highfield Princess and she was about 10 to 1 at that point. What put me off was just having that 6.5 furlongs next to her name. And you kind of think at York, or like, you think of the likes of Batash and Winter Power last year, you have to like be a really real speedster to win, but actually having that stamina in hand helps. Like Limato very nearly won this race, was only beaten by a very, very good horse in Mecca's Angel, who absolutely loved it at York. It's just something to bear in mind, where if you can see, if there's a class angle in the race, I just think it's worth sticking with, because they're going to win. And she was the class in the race. But it was a hell of a story as well. I mean, just the campaigning of this horse.
All Weather, 77 rated, and struggled to win there only a couple of years back. She's now 113-plus rated horse. Do you know what I mean? It's yeah, mad.
Well, even when she won the Duke of York, she's just a bit underestimated. Like, she won the Duke of York, and I'm a big Minzal fan. And I kind of thought, well, Minzal just needed that run. He'll beat her. And then she's ran really well in defeat on her next few starts, like, and goes to France and hacks up. She's just in a rich vein of form at the moment. And yeah, it's very easy to say in hindsight, but I'm sure I won't be the only one who'll be kicking myself after the race, because she was the one that, if you just pulled the horses out on terms of class and took trip and everything like that out of the picture, she was the class. And there was no signs that she wasn't going to be fast enough for 5 furlongs. I mean, she pulled like an absolute train in the Duke of York over 6 furlongs. She's perhaps a better sprinter. She's just that classy that she's been doing it over longer trips. And yeah, we'll see how she gets on at the Breeders' Cup. Whether they will go for something in between, she's got options. I mean, she could literally run in the Sprint Cup. She could run in the Abbey. She could run in the Foray. They could take their pick from what they want, which is a big weapon to kind of have at your disposal, really, because you look at the races and think, well, she's got a good chance. She's got a much better chance of winning that one than this one, and know that there's not really any fears over whether she's going to get the trip or not. But yeah, great horse, great story. And yeah, it was a really good performance. As I said, you think York, you have to be fast, but having that stamina, it's they get racing a long, long way out there, and she just picked them all off. But yeah, it'll stack up well, that race. I mean, I think they're on about the Abbey for Platinum Queen, which would make sense. Again, she'll get quite a bit of weight. And they should probably make the most of her getting all that weight as a two-year-old, because there's no guarantee that she's going to transfer that form over to when she's three. Because, yeah, it is a big help for these two-year-olds getting that form, and especially when they're fast like she is. But yeah, it was a great race. I think it's my favourite race in the whole of the Black Calendar, the Nunthorpe. I absolutely love it. And we didn't necessarily have the quality on this year, but we had, it was a really competitive race. But the Bass told in the end.
Yeah, Highfield Prince is a really nice winner of the Cornwall-Woodton Bassett Nunthorpe Stakes and should go on to much better things again. Moving forward, hopefully the Breeders' Cup will be where we see this horse towards the back end of the season. That'll be very exciting. But let's go on to the Saturday now, the final day, where the highlight was the Ebor Handicap, but we've got two group races prior, which were the Strensel Stakes, which was won by Al Flayla, and the City of York, won by Kinross. I'll combine these two races to speed things up a bit. What do we make of these two performances, Tom?
Yeah, Flayla was very impressive, wasn't it? Looked like he got caught a little bit, but then just took off. I think it almost caught Jim Crowley out by surprise, judging by his interview after, how well he did kind of stick his neck out. I think he'd probably be better over an extra furlong as well. So, exciting times for him. Mike Ulysses was a little bit disappointing. Not quite sure he wants that extra furlong. I think maybe he's go back to a mile with him. He's a little bit funny at the finish. Don't really like the way he kind of goes about it sometimes. But, the winner was impressive. Clearly progressing. So, we'll hopefully see a little bit better. We'll hopefully see even better performance next time, because I think he will be better over a trip.
Okay. Rosie Kinross always seemed like a horse who wants it soft. Showed that wasn't the case on Saturday, but I'd probably say they'd go back to the Foray in France where they finished fourth last year, and I'd say this horse got a right chance.
Yeah, I'd say why not? I'd be mad not to, wouldn't you? Very impressive there, I thought. He seems to have quite a nice mentality, and for the great sire Kingman, and for he keeps coming back for more. He's five now, and he's certainly showing no signs of sort of slowing down, or he's only had 18 runs, so it's in the grand scheme of things throughout his career, it's not, he's having a long career but not a hard career. But I liked him. I thought that was an impressive win on Saturday. Very nice.
It was very nice indeed. And we'll quickly move on to the final race that we're going to be looking at. And it's the Ebor Handicap, which was won by Trawlerman. Frankie at his brilliant best here. Trawlerman reminded me a lot of his sire, Golden Horn, in terms of Golden Horn's arc. Drawn wide, kept wide until the opening bend, and then cut in and showed plenty of staying power to win. Rosie, what do we make of this?
It was lovely, and what's even sort of very interesting is Overbury recently bought Golden Horn, so he's back with his old stablemate Jack Hobbs. I saw them this week, and if you want to see videos of them, head over to the Racing Post Instagram. I got to see them both, and it was Golden Horn was out in the field, covered in mud, having a great time, and obviously for Overbury, who bought him just before these two lovely wins. They will be very pleased with themselves right now, because what a lovely drop in form before the covering season. Sort of, it's next year it will get underway, but obviously this is the time of year that you want breeders to be thinking about you. So it was very nice to see those two doing that quite so well. You have two good winners this week at York. So yeah, and like you said, it was very much in the fashion of his dad, which made everyone think of him. it's quite fun when people liken a horse to their sire. You know, that's, it feels like forever ago that Golden Horn was on the track, but it actually wasn't that long ago. And it's nice to see his progeny doing so well. And I thought Trawlerman ran it very nicely.
Yeah, he did win it very nicely. And Tom, I mean, there's plenty of horses that people can be taking out of the race, but I guess the Frankie factor and seeing Frankie Batch's brilliant best is what did it.
Yeah, it was a very good ride, wasn't it? I've got a big smile on my face knowing that Golden Horn and Jack Hobbs are chilling out together again. That's made my day, that is.
Go to our Instagram, you can see them.
I definitely will. Look, Frankie, brilliant. He kind of told the ITV cameras what he was going to do. He said it before, he was going to have to stay out wide. He was the only one that did it, and he timed it to perfection, slowed the race right down, which is key in this race because the first three home all came from the front. Now, the two to take it from here, you can Glenn, who's run an absolute stormer from the back. Only issue with Ewan Glenn is because he's getting on in age, he's hardly like, how many chances are you going to get to kind of, for him to pay? I'm not sure. But they got him down to a nice mark. He's run an absolute stormer. And the other one was Get Shirty, who in he's kind of won all these big handicaps so far this year. He is normally ridden quite prominently, and I think he had a slow start and had to kind of settle it in the rear because he had a wide draw. They pulled him right round the back and settled him on the rail. He's run an absolute stormer because nothing really went right for him. And again, he was another one that came from the back. He's off a high mark, 110. I mean, you don't get many chances to kind of run in e-balls every week where you kind of get that condensed handicap field. So I'm not sure where they'll go next with him, but definitely not one to give up on. He's got a bit of class, and if they were to step up to Pat and Company with him, he's definitely not going to be out of the picture. He's improving at a rapid rate of knots, and another really good performance in a big handicap.
Okay, yeah, no, plenty of horses to take out of the race, and there we go. That's it for the races covered this week. Join us in just a few seconds for Rosie and Tom's horses to follow, as well as their naps for the week ahead.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the final part of the podcast. So we've discussed the big winners, but maybe let's talk about some of the horses that were beaten this week. Tom, I know that you've got quite a few to follow here.
Well, I just thought the Gimcrack was a really good race. So, as we've kind of mentioned earlier, I definitely wouldn't rule Marshman from potentially being a Group 1 cold case. I thought he's taken a big leap forward there. A little bit like Swing Along earlier in the week. He was another one that's actually in my horse tracker. And yeah, that was a big performance from him. He'll definitely move on. And as I said, Royal Scotsman, Jim Crowley he said not to give up on this horse. It was a bit of a disappointing run in the Gimcrack, but he was very classy at Goodwood. And I think the yard think that this, they're thinking about his three-year-old campaign, I believe. So he'll potentially come on quite a bit for the winter. And the other one to follow was Emirati Anna, who ran a stormer in the Nunthorpe, is clearly coming back to form. I was shocked to see that this horse 16-1 for the Sprint Cup. I know there were doubts whether they might retire him after the month, but surely after that run, they'll give him another go at defending his crown in the Sprint Cup. They've kind of brought this horse along. He did exactly the same last year. He showed very little form earlier in the year, and they had him right up to fitness for the Nunthorpe and the Sprint Cup. So I expect a massive run, 16-1. It's a big each way price, considering a lot of the horses like Naval Crown and what have been on the, they've been all these big days throughout the season. They're not going to be at peak fitness like Emirati Anna is. So I just thought that was a big run over 5 furlongs. I mean, we don't know where Highfield Princess is going to go, but they're talking Breeders' Cup. They might give the Sprint Cup a miss. And I'm an Emirati Anna 16-1. It's a big old price, that.
There we go. A few horses to follow from Mr. Tom Park. I suppose we should probably get a York highlight from you both. Rosie, what was the highlight of the week?
I'm going to steal it from Tom. Baid.
Tom, I'll let you have it if you want it, but what would be the highlight?
I love these two-year races, and I thought Noble Style was brilliant. Yeah, I mean, the Highfield Princess was great as well. But yeah, I'll go with Noble Style. I think we might have just seen the Guineas winner.
Oh, wow, yeah, big statement. That. Right, now the pressure's on. Let's get the naps for the week ahead.
This will not be beaten.
Rosie, starting with you, who's the nap this week?
Well, we've got Ideal Guest at Lingfield on Wednesday, so I've got to back my own corner and say that hopefully he should run really well. We're in good form and the horses are flying, although they've shut the Long Hill this week, so we're all on the Warren Hill, so I've nearly died twice and it's only Monday. Four furlongs is not enough, in my opinion. but he's really well. He's got the girl that was riding him before back on him, so he'll be raring to go by Wednesday, I'd say.
Do we not time that race is, Rosie, for our listeners?
Beg pardon?
What time's the race on Wednesday?
Oh, 3:10.
3:10, there we go. 3:10 on Wednesday. Ideal guest. And Tom, where's the best coming from for you this week?
I like Prince Nabil, who's got an entry at Carlisle in the 4:20 on Thursday. He was beaten three lengths on debut by Should Have Had a Ring, which looks good form now, given how impressive that was at York. Just touched off on his next start and was last off the bridle actually at Hamilton before tiring at the end. Connections have gelded him since. He's another that's in a horse tracker. As I said, he's only got five in, and three of them are Carl Burke horses, including this one. So he's been gelded since. This is his first run in a handicap, and obviously he's been gelded. I'd just be very surprised if he's not better than a mark of 77. He's got a touch of class about him, and I think Connections think he does too, which is possibly why they've gelded him. And they think that he ought to be winning. So, opening mark 77, big chance in the 4:20 at Carlisle on Thursday. That's Prince Nabil.
Prince Nabil on Thursday for Tom. And there we go. Thanks as always to my guests, Rosie and Tom. You can join Bruce Millington and some of the tipping team on Friday, where hopefully they'll find you some winners on the weekend preview. Do subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Remember to gamble responsibly, and we'll see you again soon for more podcasts. Thanks for listening.